All right, welcome to another episode of our Seashore podcast. Now, today I think we're having a very important conversation, right? This is centered about around mental health. Now, we are approaching exam season and most of us are stressed. Students, lecturers, I think everyone during this time of the year is stressed. Now, to help me with this conversation, I do have Mr. Thobani Mangu, who's a UJ sports psychologist. We've got Dr. Yvette Kayingo, I hope I said that right, who is of the city of Johannesburg. There's also Sister Libuani Mapoli, I hope I said that right, who is of city of Johannesburg as well. Emihle Ngeke, who is a UJ student. Yes, we also have Palisa, who is a published author who's written a book about mental health. And then we also have Newell.
Sister Newell. From Seashore.
From Seashore, yes. Now, it's very important to establish the importance of having a healthy and balanced mental well-being. I think before we start this conversation, let me come to you, Dr. Yvette. How do we define emotional well-being in the context of university life particularly?
Okay, thank you for the question. So I think when we speak about well-being, we're talking about health, we're talking about a state of happiness and contentment, right? So when we look at emotional well-being in the context of a university setting, so for the student, it's about like recognizing, experiencing and being able to manage a wide range of emotions, but at the end of that, being able to have like a positive psychological outlook on your life, contentment in your life, and good self-awareness. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're always happy and bubbly, but that you're able to manage those emotions, emotionally regulate in a healthy way, to have an overall positive outlook on your life. And in doing so, then being able to balance your academic life, your social and interpersonal interactions with other people.
All right. Palisa, I don't know if you want to chip into there as a published author. I mean, you've covered mental health or mental well-being. How would you describe it, especially at a university setting or as a student? Yeah.
For me, the biggest thing is that I write from my personal experience, which was actually at UJ. So it's emotional well-being as a student is understanding and embracing the fact that this is a new way of life. You have gone through a big shift whereby you're not under the roof of a guardian or a parent. You're navigating this alone. So it's understanding and embracing that there's a big adjustment taking place and embracing the change. So I think I tried too hard to do well instead of saying, hey, let me learn myself. How am I under different circumstances when I'm not with parents? Last week, I made the example that there was a time where I thought it was very smart for me to buy two large pizzas. And then I ate them over 3 days because I was writing exams and I wanted to be able to eat. But it's about learning that, hey, this is about balance. So we have to learn how to do a bit of this, a bit of that, instead of being so caught up in our studies that we don't embrace the fact that you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to take a walk, you need to laugh with a friend, you need to have a lovely time from time to time. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think when we are students and so consumed in this life of wanting everything perfect, you want to focus too much on your academics and neglecting other aspects of things. I think I'll come to you, Mr. Thobani. Yes. I want us to speak about the importance of, or why do you think emotional well-being is often overlooked and misunderstood? The so many times where you don't even know how to navigate your way. What do you think is the cause of us students overlooking such a concept? Yeah.
Okay. So number one for me, it's, you know, just like physical health, mental health for me, it's like physical health. Yeah. When you have a wound and you can't walk properly, you were injured. You need to take care of that. Mm. The reason why it's overlooked, it's because it's quite different, because it's, you can easily mask it. You can't, you know, no one will see. Yeah, you can mask it easily. But also there's a stigma around it. People think you know, if you process things this way, you're weak, or why can't you just do things like normal people do, you know. Things like waking up in the morning, people who struggle with mental health, who struggle waking up in the morning, like you or depression. And, you know, people, you know, will be hard on that person. You feel, they will say, you are lazy. Why aren't you waking up? Why aren't you doing your work? Forgetting that it stems from mental health. So the reason why it's for me, it's because of the stigma around it. But also it's because it's not seen, you know, cannot be easily seen, you know. Only people that know work with mental health issues would be able to see that you're here.
I don't know. Yes, Sister Neo, I was about to come to you as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think another thing that makes mental health to be easily misunderstood is that it can present with physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we would dwell much on those physical symptoms. Like, for example, a person with anxiety will present with diarrhea. So we'll keep on giving them medication for diarrhea until a certain time comes where you realize, no, there's a pattern. This student always comes for diarrhea. And then that's when, but most of the time it's not picked up immediately. We're going to treat that diarrhea once, twice, three times, until now you realize that, no, I think we're dealing with something else. And that's when you will be tapping to the mental health issues, asking, probing more, and then you will get to understand that this student is actually experiencing anxiety. So that's where it can be tricky again and be misunderstood. And wrong diagnosis, I can say, if I am allowed to say, it can even be, most students can be easily misdiagnosed. And then we would pick up at a later stage that we are actually dealing with mental health more than physical problems.
I don't know, Sister Libuana, I don't know if you want to have a pointer on that one as well.
Okay. I will agree with Mr. Tobani there and Sister Neo, because also socially it becomes a hindrance for mental health, especially with students, because let's say you have a set of friends, but you're the only one experiencing this. So a lot of them feel like, if I'm going to accept that I have an issue, I have a challenge, I won't blend well with my peers. So I will say socially, sometimes also family-wise, right? You find that in my family, I'm the only one experiencing this. How do I go on to say, Mom, I'm experiencing 1, 2, 3 when no one in the family actually. So it's more of social acceptance and family acceptance that you find that it's so easy to just go along with whatever you're feeling than to actually accept that I do have a problem, because judgmental, you're afraid to be judged as well, socially and with family as well.
Doctor, yes.
I would also just like to add, I think there's a lot of masking.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's an issue of you might be the only one that's experiencing any particular thing. But I think, you know, as Mr. Tobani had mentioned, because of the stigma, mm-hmm. not everyone is so forthcoming to say, hey, listen, this is something that you might
this
struggle with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's this kind of, especially in this era of like social media and stuff, everyone needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You can't show weakness. I mean, outside you were talking about how, you know, this generation is not as resilient, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about that question, you really like deep it. It's really not that. I think there's so much pressure to just be perfect.
Yeah.
And I think you might be surprised that there's a lot of us that are thinking that, oh, you got it down perfect, you're coping, and we're all just really struggling. And that platform to be like, listen, I'm really not okay, isn't there.
Yeah.
So,
no,
yeah.
I hear you. Emile, let me come to you quickly. From a student perspective, you heard doctor saying there's so much pressure to be perfect. We're masking so many things. We want to, they call it hustle culture, right? We want to be so perfect. We want to touch into everything. Do you feel that's part of the problem?
That's a major part of the problem, to be quite honest with you, because you always have pressure on a daily basis to keep up with other people, forgetting that circumstances are not the same.
Mm.
People are not the same.
Mm.
Our journeys are not the same. So the minute you start accepting that your journey is different from other people, then it's going to be easy for you to adapt and to also be fine.
Yeah. Let's move on. Sister Newell, you touched a bit on how emotional well-being can affect you physically, right? Yeah. I need us to have a deeper dive into that one. I'll also come to you, Sister Libwani. I want us to have a deeper conversation with that. Can we talk about how you spoke of misdiagnosis, you spoke of how, I don't know if you mentioned anxiety being linked to diarrhea. Yeah. Is there anything else that you could tell us or share into that? Yeah.
Like in terms of symptoms,
yes.
What to look out for.
Yeah.
Okay, so you and most of the time, mental health illness can present with physical symptoms. You will experience headaches most of the time when you're under a lot of stress. You can experience diarrhea, as I mentioned, when you're anxious. You can experience feeling like you can't breathe. It feels like a difficulty breathing, which is more related to anxiety and panic attack. You can also experience your hands feeling clammy or wet, your heart rate racing a lot. You'll have a very fast heart rate when you're feeling anxious or when you're panicking. It happens to a lot of students during exam times. For example, maybe you're sitting in class and then you come across a question that you yourself know, oh my God. And when you look at the marks, it's out of 10 or 20, that question. And you're like, I didn't touch on this one. I didn't study it. That's when those feelings would come, will overwhelm you. Your heart rate, you will be beating, your heart will start to beat fast. You will feel like you're dizzy, a bit dizzy, you're feeling hot flashes coming over you. Those are the signs of anxiety or panic attack. And then there are emotional symptoms that Mr. Tobani mentioned on, where you're feeling down. You don't feel like waking up in the morning. You don't feel like taking a bath. You're usually a bubbly person who's always out there or looking forward to going out with friends. You are this dresser. You're always looking good. But there comes a time where you just want to be alone. You want to close yourself in the room alone. You don't even feel like bathing. You're a makeup person. We know, Hore, you rock the makeup. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we realize that now is now starting to look a bit, no longer taking care of themselves. You become very irritable with people. You're easily angered. You start arguments easily with people. Somebody would be saying something that they really didn't mean, and you will misunderstand it, take it in a wrong context, and you'll just be angry with the person, start lashing out to the person. So those are mostly emotional symptoms that one would present with when they know in a need for help. And then there are what I can call maybe behaviors, change of behavior. You'd realize that somebody now, they are starting to drink a lot of alcohol. Even during the week, a person will be, when you get into your friend's room, they're always having alcohol, they're always drinking. So is there a way of maybe trying to cope with whatever is stressing them or whatever brings them pain? Others will start using drugs in order to cope. Others will even start involving themselves in risky behaviors. And you know that this is not the Newa that I know, but the person will now be, you're seeing me with different guys every time now. Mm-hmm. And you find that it doesn't just end with me being with them, but I even go to an extent of sleeping with them because other people find sex therapeutic. So you'll end up now engaging in risky behaviors that can lead to other diseases like your sexual transmitted infections and HIV, if I may mention a few.
Yeah. All right, Sister Libwani, I don't know if you want to have a point on that as well. Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they will do present with, we'll say, insomnia, sleep deprivation. You'll find that somebody who was sleeping maybe from an 8 to 6 is no longer sleeping as much hours as they were sleeping. A lot of them might present also with loss of appetite. You find that you're somebody who used to love food, who used to love eating, but now you're just eating once or twice, but also little portions or not the same portions that you were eating. Then also you find that you were somebody who was interested in doing certain things. Let's say you're a sports person. You're no longer interested. Maybe you used to love reading. You used to love being out. You isolate yourself now. You don't want to be with friends like you used to. And sometimes somebody will say, sister, I feel like something is choking me. I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. So it is a physical symptom. But in a way, then they'll say, I feel like my heart is going to beat and beat, and I feel like I'm going to die. Mm. So there is that feeling of not being able to breathe, feeling of choking, and then your heart beating fast, which is a physical symptom as well.
All right. Palisa, you want to say something here?
So I just wanted to share from personal experience. I mean, from the age of 14, I started being admitted into hospital about twice or thrice for stomach complaints. Mm. So I would either vomit or I would get diarrhea. And I thought it was just like mainly allergies, not realizing that it's stress related. This happened from age 14 until age 26. Mm. So you can see it's 8 years of my life. Mm. And it was only in my 20s where I was in hospital and a psychologist came in and said, we need to figure out if this is linked to stress. And when they asked me if I'm stressed, I was like, look, this is the problem I'm facing. I was in a car accident and it's affecting me because I can't live life the way I used to live. So I thought that by me just knowing what is causing me stress, I thought that I didn't need to dig deeper. But it was an undiagnosed mental health illness. And to add to what Sister Neo said is that, so in my teen years, I was never diagnosed with any mental illness. And then after the age of maybe 22, I was diagnosed with major depression. But when I was like 25, I was diagnosed with bipolar. So if we're not being intentional about let's find a diagnosis, the misdiagnosis or lack of diagnosis can prolong, and then now the problem gets severe. Like, I even reached a point whereby I used to be a fashionista. I wouldn't brush my teeth the whole week. I don't want to brush my teeth. I gave away my clothes. And yeah, it just changes and it manifests in so many ways. Like, your whole reality changes when you are affected and it goes undiagnosed and untreated.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, your mental health doesn't only just affect what is inside, but it comes to show. Yeah. It affects you physically. Emily, let me come to you quickly. As a student, what does mental well-being mean to you? I'm talking about Emily personally, and how has your understanding changed during your studies as well? Yeah.
So for me, being emotionally well, it means being able to handle life's challenges without having to feel overwhelmed or feeling like drained or giving up. So I've gotten to learn that mental well-being is more of keeping balance in your life, being self-aware, and also learning to manage your emotions and stress in a healthy way. Knowing when to take a break or asking for help, knowing when to reach out to professionals or even friends for support. Mm. So, yes.
All right. I love the fact that you spoke about balancing. I want us to get to that aspect, right? Because I think a lot of us forget that as much as we are students, there still is a personal life. There's still things to do outside of just academics. Let's talk about balancing academics, personal life, as well as relationships. Now, I want us to look at how students can practically maintain a balance between their academic demands, social life, fitness, and personal relationships. I think this one, I'll give it to you, Mr. Tobani, first. Yeah.
Yeah. Balance is such a big thing. Even previously, when I worked with the entire UJ population, I'd find that students were more academically inclined, they would focus just on academics. Mm. And that tends to be boring sometimes or over time because you need that social aspect and to balance, like she was saying, with mental health. So it's important for all of us to learn to balance. And that means you are able to manage your time better. But also, I mean, if you're here as a student, you're not only here to learn, you're here to also learn social skills, which will be important when you leave here, go to the world of work. So balance is, you know, try to push, even if you feel like you're not a social person, you just try and push yourself to be balanced, because life would require that. When you leave here, you'll have a partner, you'll have kids, you know, if you aspire to those things, and you need to then be able to balance all of that. And this is an opportunity for you to put yourself out there in saying, I'm going to learn to balance. But I think the imperative thing is managing our time better.
Absolutely.
Very, very important. When a person comes to me and they want to talk about balance, we always talk about, but how are you, you know, how are you using your day? Like, let's look at your day, how your day looks. What time do you wake up? Do you have like a, you know, a routine that you keep and stick to that routine to be able to balance your life and be disciplined into, you know, following through. And if you're able to do all of those things, then your life will be balanced, and you'll be able to reap from all the aspects of life, not just academics. But when you put yourself out there, in terms of socializing, but also exercising, because that's very important. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, exercise just bring balance as well. Without, you don't even, sometimes there's people who don't go for therapy. You know, they just go, they exercise, yeah. Mm. Because physical exercise equals to good mental health.
Of course. I don't know if anyone wants to have a song.
Okay, adding to what Mr. Tobani has said, remember when you are a university student, I believe that university is the time where you are being prepared for the coming life, you know, being an adult.
Yeah.
So as Mr. Tobani said, that one of the biggest mistake that our students do is focusing only on their academics. And they fail to realize that when you don't balance everything, you are going to be challenged as an adult. Because in an adult life now, you will be either a mother or a father, having to balance coming back from work, taking care of the kids. If you're a wife or a husband, you also have to give time to your partner or your spouse, or you're in a relationship, you have to maintain, you have friends, you know. So when all the time you're now focusing on your academics, you are pushing away people, your loved ones, they feel neglected. And now when you come back, you're done, you've graduated, and you now want to start this relationships with them, most of the time you can't. They are gone. So they lose a lot of relationships, and which can now add to the mental health issues, you know, because now they are now going to start feeling neglected. They fail to realize that they actually are the ones who first neglected their loved ones around them, because they felt, I'm a student, I just want to pass with cum laude and whatever. Being in a university is also preparing you for work. When you get to work, you have to build relationships. You cannot work solo at work, you know. So it grooms you. It teaches you to work in a team. So you never learned all these skills because you wanted to do everything by yourself. And mostly, most of the people or most of the students that struggle with this are the intelligent ones. They don't even want to be part of the groups. When they have to form groups in class, it's frustrating for them because they feel these other ones are going to drag me down. Because now I'm a genius, I can do it all. But now they don't realize that this is a skill for other things as well. We are teaching you to work in a team, you know, because you are going to go to a workspace where you have to work with others. Even if you're going to be a leader, you will be leading people. You won't be leading furniture. So you have to know how to, you know. So balancing is very important. And if our students can just know how to, you know, tackle it.
Mm-hmm. Balisa, I don't know. Do you want to have a point on that one?
Yes, I would like to add, because I was that genius, you know. I was that girl that would get 99 for maths. And they were like, how did you do that, you know? But for me, what I would also like to say, that to show that the mental illness was there all along, I was actually going to the library to hide. I felt like I didn't belong. So for me, it was a coping mechanism. And I believe that through academic excellence, I would solve all the socioeconomic problems I was faced with, that I grew up with. So sometimes it's a way of coping. Like you think that because you're excellent, you're going to get that bursary, you're going to get that job. Now, all these complaints or finances that you grew up with, now they won't affect you anymore because you've solved that problem. So that can cause the imbalance. So if I was to talk to, actually, I do talk to students now, and I always advise them, look at your week, right? Which day don't you have class? Okay. Fill in a leisure activity there. And every day, take a walk, even if it's 20 minutes. Okay, how many times are you studying? Are you planning your work? So it's important to be intentional about a routine. Balance doesn't happen by accident or by default. It's something we have to be intentional about. And it's trial and error. So you're testing out a few things. Like, for example, right now I'm a mom. And because when I was in varsity, there are certain things I was testing. I'm now able to say, okay, I need to wake up at this time so that by the time I wake the child up, I'm ready. And then I just focus on her. But another thing I'd also like to add is that then extramurals are so important. To do something that you're not going to get marks for or get a reward for, to just serve. It's so important because now you're doing something without results. When we're always performing and expecting results, that holds us back, because now we're only doing things where we're getting something in return. And sometimes we are disconnected from our families because those are the very spaces whereby maybe we're exposed to alcohol abuse. So we're protecting ourselves by staying away. So that's why I say serving, volunteering, that's another way to make sure that you're still equipping yourself with those social skills and emotional intelligence if ever you come from an environment that it will drag you down. I mean, it is stressful. If you come from a family where there's a lot of alcohol abuse, you being there, you shut down, that stresses you. You might be stressed and go through a depressive episode for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
And now you've literally messed up your whole first term by exposing yourself to something that you didn't have the capacity to deal with. That's why therapy is important. I always tell students, go to psyched, guys.
Mm. All right. I want us to move on and look at some of the common traps or mistakes that we as students fall into when we're trying to do it all. Maybe let me come to you, Dr. Yvette. We usually want to wing everything at the same time. We spoke of balance. We spoke of time managing. Mr. Thobani spoke of what do you set your time to? Often we find ourselves very stressed because we're thinking of everything at the same time. Now, what are those traps that we usually fall into wanting to do it all?
Firstly, you can't do it all.
Absolutely.
I think that's the main thing. It's interesting because we were talking about balance now. I think that's a big thing. I think setting boundaries is a big one. You need to know when to say no. You need to know what is it I want? What are my expectations? What are my goals? How do I think I'm going to achieve them? And then, you know, like Balisa was saying, when it's trial and error, you see what works for you, you adjust, and then you apply it, right? Mm. But definitely knowing that you're not like this perfect little robot that's going to do it all. And by doing it all, it might not just be an academic thing. It could be that you're going to go to all the campus events. You are going to be there for your family in whatever way they need you to be. You are going to be in the church choir and go for all the practices that they have. And then on top of that, you're going to be this top performer that, you know, hopefully is going to cum laude the course, you know, cum the course or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really important. And I think it really does go back to balance, is really knowing, sitting down with yourself and saying, listen, what is it I'm trying to achieve in all aspects of my life? You know, and understanding that this is just a transitioning point. It's not the beginning, it's not the end, but it's a transitioning point, right? And trying to just set out, what do I want? What's important to me? What can I do? What can't I do? How do I think this is going to work out for me? And if the plan that I've come up with initially doesn't work, let's go back to the drawing board and see how we can restructure things. But I think this concept of doing it all maybe might require some boundaries.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm so glad you touched on boundaries, because I think a lot of us do struggle with setting boundaries. A lot of us do struggle with saying, okay, well, I can't show up right now because I'm trying to deal with myself, or I'm trying to focus on this or that. You just... people pleasing, essentially.
Yeah,
people pleasing. Yeah. Emilia, let me move to you. Can you share a time when balancing schoolwork and personal life felt very challenging? And how did you handle that?
So this one, it's a bit painful. Okay. So I got injured during an exam season, first semester. And then I spent a lot of time in medical facilities. So I couldn't cope with having to handle schoolwork and... having to heal. So at that time, my biggest challenge was shutting people off. So I was not doing well emotionally. The situation was stressing me. But eventually, I got to open up to letting people help me, accepting help from friends, family, and making use of resources like PsychEd, like Sis Pali suggested. And that helped me in adjusting to the situation, being flexible, and it also made me look for alternative study methods and other ways of tackling problems, because in life, things won't always go your way. Mm. So if something suddenly comes up, you have to be flexible, know how to adjust fast.
For sure.
Yes. So, yeah.
Let's move on to this one. I think, you see, this one I feel quite personally, because we are living in a day and age where everyone is digital. We are on social media. Pandemic, I'm telling you, and you, it really is. And you know, with this, we're seeing different things on social media, right? Your FYP caters to you. I know, for one, I'm a girl who likes seeing dresses, pretty girls' makeup. Do you get what I mean? And you can't help but starting to compare yourself. Now you're looking at, OMG, she has the latest iPhone. Now you have the pressure to have what? iPhone what? 17? Do you get what I mean? In this social media age, and we do realize that comparison is one of the biggest problems that we face as young people because of living in the social media. Let's talk about the impact that social media has in causing stress, in causing us... I want to be a Bonang. Imagine, I hope me at my age. Bonang is way older than me, but I want to live a life like her, because that's what I'm seeing on social media. How is that impacting our mental well-being and mental health? Balisa, I'll start with you.
Thank you so much. So I was sharing with the students last week that for me, when I was 7 years old, right, I lived in a village. And I went to the most expensive school in our small town. So it's like I was living in two different worlds. Mm. There in the village, everybody was like, oh, you're so lucky you go to the school. But at that school, they were laughing at me because I used a pit toilet, right? So for me, even before social media, I had to deal with this thing. And I think the conversation is only coming forward now that there's social media. But these things have been happening in our lives where they're disparities, right? And there's situations where you realize that, you know what, I'm just not the cool person here, I'm not fitting in. So this is just to say that for me, very early in life, I had to accept what I don't have, right? I had to accept that I'm in two different worlds, and it was lonely, but I'm thankful for that experience because it equipped me for social media, where I understand that I need to be realistic about where I am. I absolutely love that TikTok exposes me to ministers across the world that give me encouragement that village girl could never get. So I look at the positive side. So it's important to know when you're going online, what are you consuming? are you there just for vibes, to pass the time? But if you're there and you're like, this is why I'm on social media, I'm there to put my work out, people that wouldn't otherwise access my work or my encouraging messages now access them. So that's, it's important to know why you're on social media. Yeah. If you don't have a big why for why you're on social media, maybe sit it out until you figure out why are you going there, you know, because that then teaches us that you're not there to just compare. It's not a social thing. Social media is good for business. It's good for putting your work out there. It's good for learning. It's good for exposure. So that's how I engage with social media.
I see. And, you know, still on the social media talk, with the current trends, with everything happening, I like how, Palesa, you mentioned the fact that you need to always find the positive in that. But unfortunately, not everyone has that capacity to find the positive. Maybe aspire to be a Bonang one day and not want to be Bonang right now because it's not realistic, right? How do we then advise someone who's feeling behind? And it's a thing. It's a thing because you feel like time is moving. People are moving. People are living. You know, even when I talk to my friends, because we're seeing all the girls our age, they are living a life someone who is probably 30 supposed to be living. What advice do I now get for somewhat feeling behind? I feel like I'm being left behind. I feel like, why am I not moving with the times? Why am I not traveling to Cape Town when I want to at the age of 23? Do you get what I mean? Dr. Yvette, let me come to you. How do you advise me or Emile or anyone else who's feeling behind because of the trends of social media? And yeah.
I just want to put it out there. You might be feeling behind because you are behind. And I think that's an important factor to note, right? So it might not necessarily be a comparative thing where you're having like these comparisons that are making you feel like you feel behind, but you might feel like you're behind because you actually are behind. And I think it's important to address that. It's a tricky one. Mm. It's a tricky one because I don't think it's unique to university students. But how to address it? I think if you have good self-awareness, if you kind of know what it is you want, that's a first step. If you don't, it's time to figure it out. And I think that realization might not come for everyone at any particular point. I'm been working for like 8 years now. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of those things. So if someone who's in first year, second year, whatever year you might be in, doesn't have it all figured out, I think that's fine. But I think having good self-awareness and having a good idea of where you want to be and how you're going to get there or how you think you might be able to get there is good enough. And if you're working towards it and you are, whether you don't feel that discipline right now, if you have that sense, that concept and you work towards it, I think that's enough. But if you're behind because you've been slacking, then you need to also address that. You know, you need to sit yourself down and be like, you know what, I might have dropped the ball here and there, and this is how I'm going to be on track, and this is how I want to reach where I want to be. But comparison can also be good because it might put you in check. But it's about being able to navigate. It's very nuanced. You need to figure out, okay, am I comparing myself here and it's really unrealistic and we're not on the same... We don't have the same experiences and we don't all have the same capacity at this moment. Or is it that, you know, maybe I can compare my views and my opinions with yours and I might learn something from you. But yeah, feeling behind, you're going to feel behind a lot of times, unfortunately.
I get you, because even at the academics, when we're looking at school, right, there's a time where you're probably going through whatever you're going through life. And you just don't attend for a week. Of course, other people are moving. You will be behind. I love that you mentioned the fact that if you feel behind, you are probably behind. You are probably behind.
Can I just come in and just add? I like what Doc was saying, to say, have your own plan, you know, put it down. You know, they always say, write things down because you'll be reminded. That's why they talk of their vision board that we must have.
Yes.
And once you are able to, you know, put it down, it may not be exactly like Bonang, when you look at it now. And then you'd realize that I've got my own journey. And of course, there's things that I can learn from other people. But it's not exactly when you now sit and compare where you want to be. And then you do things that contribute to the person that you want to become instead of doing things that other people are doing. Mm. So as a starting point, you know, start there. Map up your journey. And then other thing is protect what we hear, what we see.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we can't tell young people those things because until they experience them, you know, then they learn from experience. But very imperative, protect what we hear. I'm not sure if you've sat with sad people or you've had friends that are sad. Every time you are among them, you are dragged and you are drained, and, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing that happens with social media. The more you consume that content, it's going to bring you down. And, you know, subconscious, it's going there, you know. So if you want to be a positive person, you rather listen to positive stuff.
Yeah, I think essentially to what, Balisa, you were saying, that it's your look onto life. Are you looking at it as pressure or are you taking it in a positive way? There's always a positive side to things than just feeling pressure, feeling like, oh, I need to have this. Yes, Balisa, yeah.
And I like what Thobani said. Where do you want to get to? And I always say this. So every day, how do you show up for that version of yourself? How do you support that? I always say that our routine must be like an infrastructure that supports this thing that we want to arrive at. We shouldn't feel pressure like, oh, I want to be Bona. No, say, what are you learning from Bona? Oh, she's consistent. Oh, she's punctual. Oh, she shows up early. So get into character.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling the pressure, get into character, learn. Allow yourself to be inspired, be motivated. You can see that she looks good. So that means clean up well. Mm-hmm. And then when you show up that way, you'll start coming into your own version of that public figure. So it's so important to allow yourself to dream and be inspired.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what you just said now is practical advice, which is what we're getting to now. Maybe I'll come to you, Sister Lebowani. Maybe from a health perspective, what are some, okay, I lost the question. Oh, there it is. What are some daily or weekly habits that promote emotional stability and also well-being for students?
Okay, just like the Mr. Thobani and the others have spoken about, I feel balance, it's always going to be on at the top.
Yeah.
To say if you start your day okay, you will have. Have you ever noticed that if your day is chaotic from the morning, it just seems like everything just falls into the wrong space?
Yeah.
So I feel like what I usually say to students, because like now, especially exam time, is to say, don't leave work till the last minute. Mm. Plan, like you're saying. You cannot just go overnight and cram the whole work from January till now. No matter how strong your brain is, it's going to crash at some point. I usually have students that will say, I was trying to study, sister, but I just went, they call it a mental block.
Yeah.
So, like I will say, plan. Have your actually, you don't need to plan. When are the exams starting? Now in October.
Mm.
I feel like if you haven't planned now, you are already late.
Yeah.
I feel like you are behind. I feel like before exam, plan, allocate time, look at your modules, right? I know there are modules that, okay, you can give less time. Know what are your capabilities.
Mm.
Know what is your potential. Know that, fine, module one, okay, I can allocate a day. But there are modules that you feel like, okay, they need more time. Knowing yourself, setting time for each module based on how do you cope with those modules, planning ahead, not just a month before. I always say, I was telling my niece the other day, she was doing matric in January. I was like, failing, you start now. Mm. The very same day, you if you don't plan from the very first day, you are setting up yourself up for a fail. So I will say, manage your time, allocate time for studies. Yes, as much as there's balance, but allocate your time for studies. Manage your time well. What I've noticed with students, they do have time. It's not like they don't have time. They're not using it effectively. So I always preach effective use of time. So if you can allocate, like what you said, if you can allocate your TikTok time to doing something that is more creative, that is more constructive. Mm. So effectively managing your time to achieve your goals. Mm.
Okay. I don't know, Sister Neo, do you want to
add into the points that Sister Libu has mentioned? You should also remember to take care of yourself. Eat. And eat properly, because our students are studying, they only eat noodles the whole day, for breakfast, for lunch, for supper, because they will tell you that your sister standing on the pot and cooking, it takes away all the time. But it goes back to what Sister Libu has said. Because you didn't manage your time well, now you feel under pressure that you can't even cook a proper meal that has vegetables. And you're forgetting that you want to use your brain to study, to memorize information, but you're not feeding it. You're not taking care of the brain, but you want it to give you results. Rest and sleep. It's important because they crash. Because they study the whole day and night. They don't sleep. They depend on energy drinks to get over. Yeah. They depend on caffeine, coffee, to study the whole day and night without eating as well. They don't sleep. And now when they get to the exam room, their mind block and they don't remember anything that they've studied. Exercise. Exercising is also important. You know, you need to take a break. Go for that jog. Go for that walk. Bath. Start your day, you know. Start your day the right way. When you get out of bed, do your bed first. Do your bed and bath. And then you can go to your... And then prepare your breakfast and then go to your study table. Because if you're going to skip all those little things, you know, that's how even rich people will tell you, Hore, we can tell you by the way that you live whether you'll be rich or not. Just you skipping making that bed, it's a sign already. Forget about being a millionaire. You know, so those simple things, they matter. They matter and they go a long way. Eating, sleeping, you know, exercising, taking a break and reading that book just a bit. You can even, but it all goes back to time management, because now if you have 100 modules to study, unfortunately, all those things, that time is going to feel luxury to you.
I like how you spoke of taking time, you know, taking time to yourself and taking care of yourself. I want us to look at things like mindfulness, journaling, fitness. You spoke of taking a walk. Also you, Mr. Toban, you also spoke of physical exercise. It's very good for your mental well-being. Now, how can mindfulness, journaling, fitness or counseling play a role in managing overwhelm, when you're feeling overwhelmed? How can that help you? Mr. Toban, I'll come to you. Yeah.
Okay. A very important, I think those things are very important to do, because they will help you with what we've spoken about, mental health issues. But maybe just to touch on, you know, how these things start. It starts from the brain, obviously, you know, limbic system, that's where the emotions are controlled. And feeling anxious, you know, feeling the anxiety, it's something from the brain. And when you do mindful meditation, you are sort of pausing a little bit, you know. With all things that are happening, then you get to tap into that part of the brain when you do the breathing. And then it pauses a bit. And once it pauses a bit, you know, everything relaxes, your body relaxes. And now you're able to think clearly and you're able to be calm. And you're no longer interpreting everything as a threat. Because the reason why we have, you know, anxiety and feeling anxious is because of the, you know, how we perceive things around us. If we see it as a threat, then, you know, it imposes a threat and we feel anxious. But when you do mindful meditation, you're able to think clearly and you're like, I'm not in danger. Your brain says, I'm not in danger. I'm actually fine. And you tap into, you know, the happy hormones rather than the more anxious ones.
The stressful ones. I just recently started self-affirmations, right? So I could be having the worst day. I could be waking up and I'm like, yo, Banda, how am I even going to tackle this day? But I force myself to affirm, look at myself in the mirror, and I say, you're going to have a good day. You've got this under control. And it works. It wonders. When I tell you,
it works. You
look like you're stupid, right? You feel like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to myself. But when I tell you, telling that to yourself, I think automatically triggers your brain into believing, oh, I'm fine. Yeah. It really isn't that deep.
Yeah.
Rather than drinking ashwagandha, you...
Maybe can I just come in? There's people who do therapy would understand. They call it ABCs. You'll have emotions, you have thoughts, emotions, and behaviors.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with things like anxiety and all the stresses, you need to go back to your thoughts to say, what is making me anxious? And sometimes it's faulty thoughts.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the interpretation you give to situations that are not even real, you know. You've not failed. There's people who are very anxious about their academics, but they've never failed. You know, if they were to sit and but there's no evidence of me failing.
Of me failing.
You know, once you have that answer to say there's no evidence of me failing, you're feeling, you know, calm because you remember. And behaviorally, you become more motivated. And so that's one strategy that I always teach people to look at. It's called ABC, your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior. So your thoughts affect how you feel and essentially how you behave. And sometimes go back to, because if you're feeling more anxious and you're thinking, I'm not going to do well, this module is so difficult, and you're feeling anxious, and you then tend to avoid the work.
Yeah.
But if you go back to say, yeah, it's difficult, but, you know, I can go consult, I can go speak to someone. In fact, I've not failed. I was at the 50s. You know, I can just improve from that.
Yeah.
Then it affects how you feel, and essentially you're more confident in just going to work and seeking that help to get extra marks.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's so valid when you say that we often stress ourselves for nothing. When you actually think about it, you're like, hey, well, guys, what was I even stressing? You know, even coming out of that realization, and you're like, but what was I even stressing about? So constantly you find yourself in this circle where you are anxious, and it's things that you've made up in your own head.
They're not true. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're afraid of failing, but you've never failed.
Yeah.
Isn't that one? Delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want us to give advice. I think this one is open for everyone. If you could give one piece of advice to struggling students, what would it be? So we'll start from Palesa and then move on that way.
So one piece of advice for me is to, when things are not going okay or when you've messed up, confess. Tell the truth. Admit that mistake. Like, look in the mirror and say, you haven't been studying. You're behind with your work. Look in yourself in the mirror. Cry.
Ava.
Scream. Release it so that you're not walking around with shame and guilt. So that now you can say, okay, is this salvageable? Or do I have to accept that this semester is going down, but what did I learn? So it's so important to admit you're wrong. Don't make excuses. Admit you're wrong, or admit where you didn't show up, and face it and release the pain so that it doesn't hold you back. Because the moment you don't release it, it now becomes a part of your character. So now you continue to not show up because you didn't break that cycle. So allow yourself to break down so that you can break out of that cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, Sister Luwen.
I always say, interpret fail in a positive way, right? So fail, it's your first attempt in learning, right? So, and I always say to students, it's not how many times you fall, but it's how many times you wake up. And I always say to them, yes, you failed, but acknowledge that and look at what went wrong way. And also work better on that. So failing, it's there, But it's how you pick yourself up and move forward.
From my side, when you can show up for yourself, show up 100%. Because you'll never know, there'll be a day when you can only give 20% and that 100% you invested is going to take you through. Mm. So no pressure. No pressure, but when you can, those days when you have extra time, those days when you really feel like you're in a good space, invest them well. Because they may be, touch wood, never is going to be, but that's not life.
Yeah.
Because those times when you need help, those times where you can't perform the way you need to, or you can, or you have the capability to, you'll be very surprised how much those hours you invested in your time show up for you. So, yeah.
Amazing.
So most of the time when I'm with a student and they're struggling academically and they're anxious, I always remind them of the time that they were applying. And I always tell them, remember that there are people who were rejected and you were chosen, you were accepted. And you might find that it was just really a once-off application. You never even had to try over and over. So that on its own must tell you that there's something different about you. You deserve to be here. So all you have to do is just to go back to, where did you go wrong? Did you study enough? As Palisa was saying, be honest with yourself. You know, accept that, you know what, I'm in this situation because I honestly didn't study enough. I didn't put more time to my studies. And others, I would ask them, do you really like what you're studying? Because you find that it's a situation where the course that the student wanted was full and they had to just grab whatever was available. And I say, sit your parents down, tell them, I'm struggling with this because I don't like it, I don't understand it. Can I please change and do something else? Because for the fact that you are here, you are capable.
Absolutely. Yes. So I'd advise them to keep in mind that you don't always have to know everything. You don't always have to be right. So just give yourself time, love yourself, be gentle with yourself, you understand? Be kind to yourself and take things one step at a time. Eventually, things will work out. Just take it one step at a time.
Yeah. For me, it's we're going to have that study week. Please take a day off before you start pushing hard to just, you know, be with yourself and, you know, self-care, sleep, you know. People have not been sleeping. They've been pushing for their last semester test. Yeah. Just find a day and, you know, and sleep so that you can start afresh. But also find what works for you. There are times, just to maybe go back to what the doc was saying, you must know your times where you are mostly productive. Mm-hmm. So you must know that circle, that during the AMs I'm mostly productive, and use that, leverage that. You know, don't try and push, you know, during the day if you know you're not productive during the day. So the awareness of when you are mostly productive and use that. Lastly, you know, when you get, you know, if you study in your room and you feel like now you can't anymore, you're feeling fatigued, and maybe try different settings, different places. Try the library. Sometimes take yourself out for coffee while you're studying.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy studying. Thanks.
Absolutely amazing. What a refreshing conversation. I literally feel so refreshed after this entire talk. Very necessary, even. Very necessary. I think from this entire conversation, loving yourself is the main priority. Because if you don't love you, then who do you think is going to love you? Do you get what I mean? So I think loving yourself first is the best thing you could do for yourself. And that's how you can face life. Palisa, I love the fact that you said, when you know you've done it to yourself, face yourself. Mm-hmm. Cry about it. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself, well, you were the one who didn't study. That's why you failed. I love that so much. Thank you so much to everyone for being a part of this amazing conversation. One last question before you leave. I don't know who wants to answer this one. Is it true that depression is stored in your hips? So I heard.
Yes.
Stored in hips.
What?
Apparently. So
stored in your
hips. Uh-huh. I'm telling you. I saw a fact. It's a fun fact. Mm. And they said that, well, different body parts store different things. Traumas. Mm. somewhere by the neck. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the one that struck me was depression is in the hips. So if you want to loosen up, you need to shake your hips a little bit.
No, wait, I've been seeing that. I saw my cousin post something that, like, you know, she's been dancing more because depression is in the hips.
Yes.
So she was even doing belly dancing because apparently it's tense there. So I don't know. It's a new study, but hey, we're open to trying new things.
Open to learning, right?
We can't go wrong with dancing,
you
right?
You really can't. A good start to your day is dancing to your favorite song. Absolutely amazing. All right, thank you so much.
Just to answer that, actually,
yeah,
a point that everyone should like go research on. Okay. There's this, I think you might know him, Gabor Mate.
Okay.
He speaks about the body remembers, right? Yeah. So I'm not too sure about depression being in the hips, but your body does remember.
The body keeps the score.
It keeps it. Yes, that's it. The body keeps the score. Thank you.
Okay. So we learn every day. We learn every day. A special thanks to everyone who joined us in this conversation. And from me, your host, Phumelele Wakazulu, that is a wrap for today's episode.